Luke chapter 4, verses 21 through verse 30. This is the reading of God's Word. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all were speaking well of him and wondering at the glorious words which were falling from his lips. And they were saying, "Is this not Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "No doubt you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Whatever we heard was done in Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well.' And he said, 'Truly I say to you, no prophet is welcome in his hometown. But I say to you in truth, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, when a great famine came over all the land, and yet Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. And all the people in the synagogue were filled with rage as they heard these things. And they got up and drove him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill on which their city had been built, in order to throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went his way." Amen. Let us pray. We thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us, all of us, an ear to hear your word. Through your word, let us meet our Lord Jesus Christ and have fellowship with him. And through your word, let us see what your Son has done. So let us see the heavenly reality that our Lord has accomplished for us. And Father, bless all of us that your word will be preached correctly. And all of us not only believe your word, but we will obey your word. We thank you, and we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, through the book of Luke, we are witnessing that our Lord is accomplishing the kingdom of God. And through his ministry, Jesus Christ furthers that kingdom. He accomplishes the eternal year of the Jubilee, the favorable year of the Lord. And through Jesus Christ and through his work of redemption, all sins of all of his people are now forgiven by God. And as we have seen last Lord's Day, Jesus Christ proclaims the fulfillment of the eternal year of the Jubilee. Then we come to verse 22. "And all were speaking well of him and wondering at the gracious words which were falling from his lips. And they were saying, 'Is this not Joseph's son?'" As Jesus Christ preaches the gospel of the kingdom of God in the region of Galilee, so many people received him and his teaching very well. Of course, just because they received him and his teaching very well does not mean that they truly understood his message. Nevertheless, the news about Jesus spread through all the surrounding district, and all was speaking well of Jesus Christ. But according to our passage today, the response in Nazareth, it was not truly favorable. Verse 22 says that all were speaking well of him and wondering at the gracious words which were falling from his lips. As we all know, Jesus grew up in Nazareth, And because the news about Jesus spread wide and people were praising him, so generally the people of Nazareth have a good feelings toward Jesus Christ. Thus they wondered at his gracious words. And we read the same event in Mark chapter 6, Mark 6 verse 2. And the many listeners were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what is this wisdom given to him? And such miracles as these performed by his hands?" They were astonished, but did not truly receive Jesus and his teaching with true faith. Matthew also has the same event, and in Matthew 13:58, it clearly shows that the response in Nazareth was not truly favorable. Matthew 15, verse 58, "And he did not do many miracles there," meaning Nazareth, "because of their unbelief." Yes, they were astonished in his teaching and his works, but they did not receive him with true faith. This reminds us of Old Testament Israel. They saw so many miracles done by God, but according to Hebrews chapter 4, they did not believe. I mean, how can you not be astonished with all those miracles in the Old Testament? And yet, they did not believe. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, "For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they," meaning Israelites in the desert, "also, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard." Can you imagine how many times Moses preached to them? I mean, if you think about it, 600,000 men came out. Meaning there's another 600,000 women and at least 600,000 more children. Almost 2 million people. And God said that within that 40 years of their wandering around the desert, 600,000 men and 600,000 women, probably, they were dead. More than a million people. You divide that into 40 years, 365 days, and how many people every single day Moses had to do a funeral. Just during those funerals, they had to hear the gospel. How many times Moses preached to them? But it did not profit them. Why? Because they did not hear it with faith. They just heard it. That's it. Just like so many people in today's church, they just come, but they don't believe. They just hear. It will not profit those who hear if you don't unite that with faith. They see Jesus only in the perspective of this sinful world. Only physically and worldly they will judge Jesus Christ. This is how Paul used to see Jesus when he was not a believer. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16, "Therefore, from now on we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer." That's why Paul did not believe in Christ, because he was looking at him in the perspective of this world. Because the worldly expectation of the Messiah doesn't fit how Jesus is. Luke chapter 4, verse 22, the latter half of that verse, people are asking, "Is this not Joseph's son? See, you could see they were looking down at Jesus. Is he not just an ordinary man? And yet, look what he is teaching. They're astonished at his teaching, but he looks, they look at him in the perspective of the world and say, is it not just son of Joseph that we know? Is he not just a carpenter's son? Is he not just a man with an ordinary occupation? Is he not just a man from an ordinary family? I could go on and on with these kind of questions. This is how the world judges. What kind of college you have graduated from? How much money you have in your bank? What kind of house you have? What kind of car you have? What kind of family are you from? But Jesus, isn't he Joseph's son? They cannot accept Jesus as the Son of God. As the true Messiah. It just doesn't fit their worldly concept of how Messiah is. According to the standard of this world, it is impossible to accept Jesus as the Son of God. According to the standard of this world, Jesus Christ is just nobody. No one will recognize him as a someone special unless God has given that person true faith. This is what we read in Isaiah 53 verse 2 and 3 is talking about the Messiah. For he grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and one like one from whom men hide their face. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. This is the description of Jesus Christ. Forget that stupid painting of Jesus. That's not Jesus. You go to the Bible to understand the truth. Not attractive at all. So in a worldly perspective, when you judge Jesus, you say, no, he's not the Son of God. He cannot be Son of God. The same world will look at you and judge you the same way. Look at, he's not successful. How can we say that God is blessing that person when he doesn't even have money? How can we say God blesses that person when that person doesn't even have a good job? It just doesn't fit. And this is how Jesus was. He refused to receive any glory from this world. He came as a servant. Indeed. This is an amazing grace. Luke chapter 4 verse 23, and he said to them, no doubt you will quote me this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Whatever we heard was done at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well. Jesus knew what they were thinking. He says, no doubt you will quote this proverb to me. And that proverb is, physician, heal yourself. Meaning what? Physician, don't just heal other people, heal yourself. Jesus heard this kind of thing so many times, even on the cross. People were mocking him. You came to save. Well, save yourself first. Then we might believe. Jesus, you performed many miracles in many other places. We heard it. We even heard what you did in Capernaum. Now perform the miracles here in your hometown in front of us. This is what they were saying. Do them so that we may see, so that we may believe. In other words, they were saying, show us some signs. Later in Luke chapter 11, verse 29, Jesus says this, as the crowds were increasing, he began to say, this generation is a wicked generation. It seeks for a sign, and yet no sign will be given to it but the sign of Jonah. The sinners who are looking at Jesus in the perspective of this sinful world, only thing they want is a sign. Some miracles. Oh, that will make them excited. This is what the world wants. They want to be amazed. Then they will start to listen because they're amazed. The sinners will believe when they see. They are in fact saying to Jesus, well, you have said that you have fulfilled the eternal jubilee and that you are the Messiah. Then show us a sign, show us something so we could see and believe. Because just words, it's not going to do for them. But Jesus says he only has one sign, the sign of Jonah, meaning the sign of the cross. But cross is stumbling block to so many people. Because it speaks of death. And people don't like it. It speaks of suffering. And people hate that. Can you picture Jesus? Well, don't picture that. But if Jesus, I don't know, grabs some dirt and he changes it to money, oh, do you think that would excite people? Of course it will. Everybody will say, we follow you. But he doesn't do that. And he says, I only have one sign of the cross. Luke chapter 4, verse 24, and he said, truly I say to you, no prophet is welcome in his hometown. If we read the Old Testament, then we will see that the prophets that God has sent to the Israelites, they were not welcomed. The true prophets, I mean. The fake ones, oh, they were very welcomed. Jesus is rejected, not only from his hometown, but later from the whole Israel and from the whole world. We are all sinners who cannot accept Jesus on our own ability. By nature, we were the sinners who would not accept Jesus Christ, who will reject him. John chapter 1, verse 10 and 11, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. Everybody rejects Jesus Christ, unless that person is given faith from God. And from verses 25 through 27, Jesus talks about two events from the Old Testament. But I say to you in truth, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, when a great famine came over all the land, and yet Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elijah, the prophet, though none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman, the Syrian. So, two stories, one during the time of Elijah, and the other during the time of Elisha. There was a famine of 3 years and 6 months at the time of Elijah. James talks about it in his letter, James 5:17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. We find this event in 1 Kings chapters 17 and 18. There he says that the famine was for 3 years. But both Luke and James says that the famine was for 3 years and 6 months. Perhaps Luke is using the biblical symbolical number for the duration of the judgment, which is a time and times and a half a time. So there's one time and there's times two, three and a half, which is 3.5. That's a biblical, symbolical number of duration of the judgment. You will see that number in the book of Revelation. So maybe, perhaps, Luke is using that symbolical number, but we just don't know. I don't have a good answer for that. However, Luke is saying that there was a great famine at the time of Elijah, and there were many widows in Israel. However, God did not send Elijah to help none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, meaning the point is that God helped a Gentile, not the Israelites. So, Jesus is telling them a story. When these Israelites were rebelling against God, sinning, and there was a famine because of judgment, but God only sent His prophet to help a Gentile. None of the Israelites, widows. So people, Jews who are hearing this from Jesus, they get the point. They're not happy. The same thing happened at the time of Elijah. There were many lepers in Israel, but none of them was cleansed. But only Naaman, the Syrian, was cleansed through Elijah. Again, only a Gentile was cleansed. And this event can be found in 2 Kings chapter 5. Both stories tell us that when Israel was sinning and rebelling against God and rejecting God's prophets, God sent His prophets to bless the Gentiles, not Israelites. And the message is that if the hearers reject Jesus Christ, the same thing will happen. In fact, it happened. Eventually, the Israel as a whole rejected Jesus, and the gospel actually went to the Gentiles. And that's exactly those stories that Jesus gave as example. Those stories are all about what's going to happen when Jesus comes. God will actually bless the Gentiles. The gospel will go to the Gentiles because Israel rejected Jesus. Luke chapter 10 verse 10 through 13, but whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, even the dust of your city which clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I say to you, it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles have been performed in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. So Jesus comes and do these things, do his ministry in Israel, but they reject. And what God is saying is, if I do the same thing in the Gentile area, they will long ago repent of their sins and they will follow me. These Israelites rejected Jesus, for they did not believe. If they rejected Jesus, then God will reject them. And same is true today. If you reject Jesus, God will reject you. It doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentiles anymore. If you reject Jesus, then God will reject you. Because God has to judge your sins. Luke chapter 13, verse 34. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, just as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not have it. They would not believe. Apostle Paul says it this way in Acts chapter 13, verse 46. Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first. Since you repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. So God uses the rejection of Israel to send his prophets to Gentiles, so that the gospel will reach the ends of the world. But this was God's plan from the beginning. This is not something that God did not expect, that Jesus came thinking that Israel will receive him, but he was so surprised that Israel rejected him, so he said, well, since I came, well, let me just establish church. As if church is a second thought to God. That's not what happened. Actually, Israel rejecting Jesus was God's plan all along. Now, both the Jews and the Gentiles who believe in Jesus Christ are the active participants in the eternal Jubilee. Luke chapter 12, verse 8, and I say to you, everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man will confess him also before the angels of God. The true Jews are the ones who believe in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that which is of the heart. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, and if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heir according to the promise. So we could see gospel going to Gentile. This was God's plan all along. Even in the Old Testament, God prophesied it. So the true citizens of the eternal kingdom of God are the ones who believe in Jesus Christ. So until Jesus came, The popular understanding was if you're a Jew, and then you are a member of God's country, that you are a people of God. But Jesus comes and shows the truth that that's not right. That's not correct. Who is a citizen of kingdom? Well, it is one who accepts Christ. Not that you're ethnically a Jew. They were mistaken. All those times in the Old Testament, they were mistaken. Because they did not believe what the Bible was saying to them. Because their whole perspective was worldly. It was worldly perspective. Unless God gives him the true faith. Even today, some Christians think that there's some special love of God to ethnic Jews. Not anymore. But that special love from Jesus goes to all those, whether Jew or Gentile, all those who believe in Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 4, verse 28 and 29. And all the people in the synagogue were filled with rage as they heard these things. And they got up and drove him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill on which their city had been built in order to throw him down the cliff. Man, these people, they would not believe Jesus Christ, but somehow they understood what Jesus was saying. They knew they were being scolded because their rejection of Jesus, and Jesus showed them examples from the Old Testament how God rejected those people who did not believe. These people actually understood what Jesus was saying. So they got angry. The people who are hearing Jesus Christ, they got angry. They tried to kill Jesus Christ. But, Luke chapter 4 verse 30, but passing through their midst, he went his way. Somehow these people were trying to Jesus, but he just kind of walked away from them. Why? Because it is not the time for the cross yet. Because everything is according to God's plan and God's time. Everything is according to His will. John chapter 7 verse 30 actually says, so they were seeking to seize Jesus. But no man laid his hand on Him because His hour has not yet come. The people who heard, they got really angry, like I said. These did not believe in Jesus Christ, and yet they always thought that they were the true people of God and the Messiah would come to bless them. These Israelites who are rejecting Jesus, they were thinking, we are the true people of God and the true Messiah, if He comes, He will bless us. But look at what Jesus is saying. Obviously, He's not the true Messiah. Because He's not blessing us, He's actually scolding us. Just like them, we have many people today who believe that they are righteous in the sight of God. They live without repentance, and Jesus thoroughly will reject that person. These Israelites, they say, we are the people of God. God will bless us. And even the teachers were saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Only judgment is left for them, and yet they were teaching. It's like today's pastor. Even though you don't believe in Christ, even though you don't, you know, do your best to love Him and obey Him, but God, this guy keeps saying, bless, God will bless you. God loves you. No, He doesn't. Only if you believe in Christ, He loves you. Especially when you think that you're so righteous in His sight. That clearly shows, without Christ you're righteous, you believe, then it clearly shows God doesn't love you. Because if He loves you, He will give you right understanding. So here, at His hometown, Jesus is thoroughly rejected. Now, this is our story. As we have seen in every story, Jesus' story is our story. We are united to Him, and the world which rejected Jesus will also reject us. Now, you know, when you sit down and think about these things, what do you expect? What will happen to you when you live your life here on earth as a Christian? What do you expect? Well, God will tell you. John 15 verse 19, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of this world, but I chose you out of this world, because of this, the world hates you. God also says, if you do your best to live that godly life in Jesus Christ, you will be persecuted. What happened to Jesus, who was thoroughly rejected at His hometown? That's our story. More you witness that you are true Son of God in Jesus Christ, you will see what Jesus is telling you in this story to happen to you more. It's when you hide, even hide that you're a Christian out there. Oh, then of course, am I mistaken to take you as their own? Of course they will not persecute you. But look at what God is showing us. Jesus' life is our life. Throughout the redemptive history of God, we see God's people being rejected and mistreated. Oh, Bible is full of these stories. And that's same with us. We are the nobodies in this world. And if you don't think that, wake up. You're somebody only in Christ. Only because of Christ. But if worldly perspective in the truly how world sees things, you're nobody. Just like I am nobody. World will say, is he not from so-and-so's family? And they mean, that's nobody. He is not from a famous family. He did not graduate from a famous college. He did not make that much money. His job is a mediocre one. Nothing fancy. He is nobody. They treated Jesus just like that. And what do you expect how the world will treat you? I know exactly how the world will treat me. Even in the world of pastors, I know exactly how they will treat me. And I'm not begging the world to treat me nice. No. First Corinthians chapter 1 verse 26 through 29, for consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world, and the despised God has chosen the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before God. So if your concept of yourself is inflating, read this verse. If you think that somehow you are way up there in the world, read this verse. God has chosen base things, despised things, foolish things, so that no one is able to boast. Oh yeah, I used to hear this kind of stuff a lot. And in one sense it's true, but as a whole, I cannot accept it. God says, they say that God telling us to have all these kind of skills. And when they were saying those skills, they were saying about the worldly skills. So that you would have all these skills so that God could use you. As if God cannot use you if you don't have that skill. If you're just nobody in this world, somehow God cannot use you. So develop these skills so that God could actually use you later. I heard this at church. And I believe if God is using me today, I believe it's not because I had those skills now. God could use anybody he wants to. He will do whatever he wants. And you preparing those skills, I have no problem. But you think that God now is able to use you because you have those skills, I have problem. Somehow God uses you because you're somebody now. No. Please, understand the gospel. Does that mean we should just be lazy and not study and not... Oh, come on. That is not even worth discussing. We are rejected and mistreated in this world for our faith. In fact, if you are not rejected and mistreated because of your faith, then you must examine yourself. Listen to this. Luke chapter 2, chapter 6, verse 26. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for their fathers used to treat the false prophets in that same way. Woe to you! If all men speak well of you. This is what God says. Jesus, he didn't do anything wrong. He was sinless. And yet God let these men, sinful men, speak ill of him. I mean, he could have destroyed all those people with snap of his finger. And yet, he let these people mistreated Christ to show us what Christian life is all about. Don't you think that our church will never grow big preaching this kind of stuff? Oh, even like good Christian will come and listen to this for 10 years and get sick of it. Oh, I'm sick. I'm sick of suffering. Sick of... Thank God that Jesus did not say that. But he endured with joy, knowing that that will please God. Yeah. How long will you stay with us? Brothers and sisters, we are the family of our God, and our true hometown is heaven. Yes, we are rejected here in this world, but we are always welcomed by God in Jesus Christ. And unlike here in this world, when we go to our eternal home, we will be welcomed by our eternal family. Yes, when I walk into that place, Apostle Paul will welcome me. Moses will welcome me. Not that I value Apostle Paul and Moses more than all these other brothers and sisters in Christ, but I'm speaking like a foolish man, speaking in terms of the world. Moses, this famous person, will welcome me. Jesus will welcome me. And he welcomes me right now. And we welcome each other. Not because we are so successful in this world or we are so famous in this world, but because we are all in Jesus Christ. And that reality of heaven, how we're going to welcome each other, that has to be witnessed in this church. That has to be witnessed. So please, when you see me in this church, smile. Look happy to see me. Because I will do the same for you. Let us welcome one another. Because that's what church is all about. We witness the reality of heaven that Christ has already accomplished for us. Let us never forget our reality of heaven in which God welcomes us eternally is accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ, who not only was rejected by sinful world, but who also was rejected by God the Father on the cross as he was dying, bearing our sins. That's why God welcomes us. And we must welcome one another. We now believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, always welcome him and love him, and in him we always welcome each other and love each other. And this is who we are in Jesus Christ. Let the world reject you, because he just proves to you and proves to all of us that God loves you. not rejected by the world because you did something wrong, but that you are rejected by the world because of Jesus Christ. It's a life that is truly worth. And I'm so happy that we share that life with each other. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you that you welcome us. Even though to welcome us, you had to reject your own Son, Jesus Christ, who bore our sins and died upon that cross for us. Let us remember the price you had to pay to welcome us, so that we may consider your welcome very precious, priceless. We thank you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.